This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
I'm just hoping when you start going on this crash diet, you're still fun. I have my doubles.
It's started.
Am I fun?
I'm a fun guy.
Yeah, but it's just the beginning, though. The first week is like, oh, this is great. I'm on a diet.
I started on
good.
July the 6th.
No, I can't take you serious. You've only been on the treadmill twice.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
That doesn't count as being fully invested in the diet.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's dabbling.
I'm dabbling.
Love bacon.
This is DCR.
There's some TBDs on there.
Yeah,
which
you're going to have to leave them.
Someone should probably talk.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. As always, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. That was so awkward. You guys just were both talking, and then no one said a word.
No, we're waiting for you to pick it up.
What? You're talking, he interrupts, and I should jump in and save both of you?
Yes. Yes,
you're
Dave.
Our parachute.
That should happen, yes.
You're
you keep
our net.
The show from going off the rails.
Yeah, you're our net. You're our driver, man.
Not sure how it's my fault, though.
Isn't everything eventually your fault, though?
Yes.
Why are you
what
so worried?
You
Why
here?
Are you so consumed about blame, Dave? It's not about fault. It's just about making good radio.
How often do you blame the kids, in all honesty?
As often as I need to. I mean, if they make a mistake, I yelled at Alex last night.
For what?
Because we walked the dogs, right? And it was nighttime. So we're walking the dog. I was so angry at him. We walked the dogs, and he has the flashlight, and he's got Barkley, and Barkley poops. And then he walks away. And I said, did you clean it up? He said, no, I don't have a bag. I said, well, now it's just there. He said, but I have a flashlight. I said, all right, well, if I have a bag, I'll clean it, find it. And he couldn't find it. I said, now look what you've done. I said, now there's just, it's like a landmine of poop out here. And when we walk out here tomorrow, someone's going to walk in it. He's like, well, I didn't know. I was like, you didn't know that there was a chance the dog would defecate when you came out here and you needed a bag? Or at least to keep the light on it so I could scoop over there and get that? I was furious with him last night. Oh, yeah, and I blamed him for it.
That's a lack of preparation. I meant like that you do something wrong. Sherry's like, who did this? And you blame the kids.
Oh, you know what I'm really good at? And I don't know why I do this. I will not finish anything. Like a carton of orange juice, a box of cookies. If there's 10 in, I'll eat 9 and leave 1. And then she'll freak out. Like, who left 1 cookie or who left like a drop of orange juice? I'm like, I don't know. So it's probably one of the kids. I'm not sure.
Wow. Knowing that you were the one that did it, you're going to pin it on one of them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I guess you believe in the Chris Carter playbook. Find yourself a fall guy.
Well, and they're little people too, right? So they can, you know, they just smile at mom and they get away with whatever.
So, yeah, she'll come, so she won't come down as hard on them as she would on you.
Mm-mm.
Gotcha.
No.
They're married. No one's going down anywhere. Stop.
17 years, by the way.
17. Look at you.
Right?
You're 17. I'm 12. I'm going on 20, period, in September.
Nice. 20.
So you have actually known Cass longer than I've known Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah, blind date of all things, too.
So was ours.
That's crazy, right?
We're two successful blind daters.
Look at us.
Right?
Happily married.
That's right.
Soulmates, best friends. I don't know how we got so lucky. I ask myself that every day. Although yesterday, oh God, yesterday was one. I was in one yesterday. So remember when I told you that, I don't know if people are stealing my checks or for some reason they're not.
Wait. No, I never heard this. Hang on a second. I was drinking water. I just spit out. You never told those people are stealing your checks?
No, so we have mailbox thieves like around. Like so like up and down. Up and down the main street, like we get, like I'll get emails like, hey, be aware, there's people stealing stuff out of mailboxes.
Your mailbox is not right next to your house?
No, it is right next to my house. So we've had no issues. So this was probably, I checked yesterday, so it was like 42 days ago. So I'm missing a check. Cass is like, hey, Rick, you know, we're missing a check because I haven't done the direct deposit yet.
Why would you, right?
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
It's because I've been trained as an islander. We didn't do direct deposit. So I, because I haven't been in studio and I'm an idiot, I've never set up my work email or any of that stuff. So I text RJ, what do I do? I text Dinahan, what do I do? And they're like, oh, just, you know, log on to the portal.
Like there's there would have been a better chance that Chris would be the next one on the Bezos flight to outer space than you knew how to log on to the portal.
Yeah, I would be the one flying it. There's a better chance that I'd be flying. So I'm like, can you send me whatever? So RJ, I mean, he does me a solid. He emails me the link. I click on it. Right now, I know.
I don't know where you got on it.
No, there's no way. I had no idea. Right, so
it's
I'm like
helpline. Trying to read Chinese. Like you're looking.
It was worse. It was the worst experience of my life. So I'm like, I got to call the helpline. And then, of course, now with everything, you get to the helpline, and it's like they're trying to force you to just use the computer. Like you can start a chat. I'm like, no, I don't want to start a chat. I need a human being to walk me through this thing. So then I finally get through, and it's like, your wait time is 78 minutes. And I'm like, son of a... So I waited. I got it out. I'm like, I have to do this because, like, I don't know where the check is. I have to do this. So finally, I get through. This wonderful young lady walks me through the entire process, resets everything. I got my names. I got my passwords. All of it's good, right? So I write it down. I get on, and I actually impress myself. Like, I gotta go on this form. I do this, and then I cancel that. And then, you know, I get through it. Boom, check canceled. New one comes. We're fine. So yesterday... Because you guys challenged me. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to surprise everybody. I'm going to set up the direct deposit.
Nice. Which you can do on the portal. Beautiful.
On the portal.
Yep.
Before I even get to that, Cass goes, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we're missing another check. I said, uh-oh. What? She goes, I think someone's stealing your checks. I was like, are you sure? Are you sure that someone's stealing the checks? I think we can confirm someone's stealing the checks. So now I got to do both. So I'm like, hey, Cass, can you grab me the password and sign in for my portal?
What do you mean, grab it for you?
Well, yeah, because she has a special place where she keeps things. And when I told her, I wrote it down. She goes, make sure you have this.
Why don't you just save it? When it says, dude, would you like to save it for the next time you use it, just say yes.
Because my wife is crazy like that, dude. She has stuff written down. It's not even typed. She won't even put it on the computer. Like, the stuff is written down in pen.
Does she have, like, the username on one sheet of paper and then on the other side of the house, the passwords?
Dude, you got to be like Nicolas Cage from National Treasure to find this. It's like, yeah, she leaves clues around the house so she
can find
it. All right,
continue. I'm really engrossed in this.
Okay.
Story.
So I'm like, can you grab the password and the sign-in? She's like, what password and sign-in? I said, for the Disney portal. Like, I need that. I told you, like, this is important. You said, okay, I got it. She's like, I don't have that. I said, what do you mean you don't have it?
And you did it, what, 2 days ago?
No, I did this. This was 42 days ago I did it initially.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So now I'm going, now I get thefted. A guy got burgled again. So now I got to go back on.
Excellent use of burgled, by the way.
Yeah, so I got burgled.
There is zero chance I would burgle a house.
So now we go on a full manhunt for this password on a Post-it. Nothing. No Post-it. Gone.
And you couldn't guess what it could possibly be?
So you got another 78-minute wait time that you're staring down the barrel of.
Here's the best part. I did what Dave exactly expected me to do. Was like, I can figure this out. So I go on.
You're now locked out, aren't you?
For 15 minutes. Tried again. Locked out for another 15 minutes. I got locked out like 4 or 5 times. I'm like, screw it. I don't know it. I'm calling. Your wait time is 68 minutes. So here's the best part of the story.
You're incredible.
So
finally, we didn't get to the good part yet?
No. So finally, nice. I get on with, I think his name was Hansel. Awesome dude. Walks me through it. You're all set.
Hansel?
Nope. Hansel. So hot right now. Hansel. Sets me up. Perfect. I'm on. And now I got time for your two-step verification process.
And like, they send you the text, right?
No, but I haven't set that up yet. So I got to answer the questions first to get to the new situation.
Mm-hmm.
I answered one of the questions wrong every single time. I could not get... I'm like,
they're personal questions to you!
Yeah, but I didn't realize...
Like, what's
like,
your mother's maiden name?
Your brother, your animal growing up.
These are your questions.
I got those right. But for some reason, I didn't realize... And Cassie kept saying, she's like, well, maybe that's case sensitive. Did you put a space? I'm like, no, that can't be. I don't need to put space. I wasn't putting the proper space. So it locked me out again.
So hot right now.
So needless to say, after like 4 or 5 hours of trying, I finally oh, I had to keep waiting. Every time I got locked out, it was 15 minutes. So 4 or 5, I mean, this is 4 or 5 hours. I finally get on. And needless to say.
No wonder you can't nap.
Rick DiPietro is officially direct depositing, my man.
Hello.
You're there?
Hello.
Oh, I'm there, baby.
It's going to change your life.
I did need some help with the whole... routing number situation. But I found we got it done. We
yeah,
got
you
it
and Hansel
done.
Robles. Y'all got
Me
it
and
done.
Hansel.
Very well done. Good for you. Congratulations. Let's go to a man that probably has figured out the computer well before Rick. That is the great Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. How are you?
I'm terrific. I've got to give you a dog walking tip. The way Alex walked the dog, I'm going to give you a very easy tip. Because what you're doing is analogous to Bruce Arians doing a sunscreen commercial. Here's what happens. If whatever dogs I've had, hundreds of dogs I've watched, I always keep them in the pen in my old house. No matter when a dog comes, they'll always poop in the same place. Always. They find their spot. So if you walk the same route every night...
Well, it's just we take them in the backyard. It's just, yeah, we go from one side of the backyard around the house and then in the house on the other side.
That's so, not a great walk, Spike. Okay. No wonder why the dogs are acting out. Who wants to go on that kind of walk?
Well, what, I mean, it's 9:30 at night. I got to get to bed. He's got to get to bed. You think they were going on some long, luxurious walk? No, it's a business trip.
No.
So you go outside and you take care of business.
I'm presuming you're fenced off in your backyard.
We have the electric fence.
Okay, you have left
which is cruelty to animals.
Okay,
it's not cruelty.
Invisible fence. Okay, okay. So here's, if the dog, no matter which one of the two, do they go out at the same time? I'm assuming that happens too.
Yeah, but you almost can't do that now because they're so belligerent okay. and difficult.
And the other
to
one
deal
eats
with.
It probably.
Well, no, they don't eat their own feces. We're not there yet.
Yeah, no, okay, I've had those. Okay. All right, that'll let it go. Then. Because they should go in the same place. If you
well, they don't go in the same place, Spike.
These dogs aren't right, Spike.
They are the devil's dogs, the devil's spawn, and that's what we're dealing with here.
I wish I was back in New Jersey just to put this thing to bed.
Spike, you could have them if you were back in New Jersey. Forget about like help train them. You could have them.
Listen, the good Lord willing, by Thanksgiving, I'm in my new house. I'll come up and get them. I want two dogs, but I prefer to rescue, but that's just my choice. All right, listen, I want to tell you about the Yankees. I don't know if this is temporary or this is just an infusion of the youth or the minor league players. They're fun to watch now. They got a heartbeat. Maybe I'm wrong. I want to hear what you guys say.
I think we agree 100%. Right, and we said it to start the show. The Yankee, it's a different baseball team. They run the bases. It's hitting runs, right? They're taking the extra base. It's small ball. They bunted a guy over, drive him in with a sack fly. It's much, much better the way it is right now.
Oh, it's much better because you're winning, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more pleasing
but it's
to
still
the eye because there's action.
It's still better to watch. It's a more enjoyable watch than what they give you, and there's more energy, and you can't deny that at all.
No, there's definitely more energy. No one would deny that. But the baseball's that weird sport is when you can't. I mean, when you don't hit, you look lethargic. Like there's no urgency. Well, you're going up there trying to hit. You just can't hit. Now you have the ability to win. Floreal, infield single. All of a sudden he steals second. We're going double steals. I got Gleyber Torres. You know, they're doing things that Yankees fans have been clamoring for years with this team. Like find other ways to win baseball games because you're not going to hit home runs every single night. And they're doing that right now. And you got to give them tons of credit for it.
You know what it is, Rico? They're forcing the action. Like,
exactly.
I know with these guys in the lineup, they have to play a certain way in order to compete. But the fact that they are doing those things that we're talking about, sack flies, sack bunts, stealing bases, like it reflects the sense of urgency that the fan base wants the team to have. Rather than just going up and getting into the batter's box and striking out or fly balls or grounding into double plays, rather than doing those things, like you're starting to see – you know, some different elements to this offense. And so that's the part of it that's exciting because you feel like this is the time that the Yankees need that shot in the arm. And the young guys are giving it to them. Now, the real test will come this weekend. We'll see what they do up in Boston. But I also think, you know, we got to wait and see what happens once the regulars get back in the lineup because that'll be a true reflection of exactly where this team is going to be at.
We all agree that Floreal and Greg Allen should be considered regulars.
Yes,
at the moment.
I agree with that.
You have to keep them up because they add a different dimension and they're excitable players. Yes, 100%.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about the Giants a lot because, I think in fairness, this is a really big season for the Giants, and I think they'll probably be probably the bigger story. I mean, the Jets are going to be a big story, but it's just different because there's not the same expectations with the Jets. But that being said, you don't want a repeat of last year. Well, I mean, we're starting training camps. We're 7 weeks out from the day, and we're very excited about it. Rick, realistically, when you think about the Jets in this year, what are you thinking? What are your expectations for this team?
I don't have high expectations. I mean, you mentioned it can't be worse. I mean, I feel like we're in kind of the same boat as you were last year a little bit. You know, we got a new head coach. Let's prove to the fan base that you're a good head coach. And we got a new quarterback. I mean, and it's right away, though, too. I'll be interested to see the phone calls we take after that first game when it's Zach Wilson against Sam Darnold. Because that's right into it. I mean, you want to talk about expectations.
You're getting thrown right into the fire.
Yep. Thrown right into the fire. But, I mean, I like what Joe Douglas has done. I think the offensive line is good. I mean, I like what he's done with the offensive line. Mekhi Becton, I feel like, is going to be a stud. That left side, you got a young left side. You had Morgan Moses on the right. Corey Davis, I think Keelan Cole was a sneaky good pickup.
You still got Crowder.
You got Crowder, Elijah Moore. Offensively, they've done the right things. They didn't make the same mistakes that they made with Sam Darnold, or it appears that way at least. So I feel good about that. I mean, back end, defensively, there's still some question marks. And the fact that you play, I mean, look at the division they play in right now.
Really good division.
Really good division.
One of the best divisions in football.
Yep. If not for the Jets, it could be the best division in football.
Now, see, you're a bad guy.
I wasn't being a bad guy. I'm being sincere. Like, the Jets are not a good football team.
Yeah, but look at the coaches, too. That's what makes it scary also, though. You're trying to break in a new rookie quarterback, and you're going up against Belichick, McDermott, and Flores.
Mm-hmm. All defensive-minded coaches, yeah.
So, I mean, they got their hands full. They do. But I think the biggest thing is, did you make the right pick with Zach Wilson? That's what everyone wants to see.
And I don't necessarily know that it's going to be translated to wins and losses. Like, they could make leaps and bounds improvements, win five games, and you could still feel pretty good about it, I would think.
No, you're right, Dave, but I think what it looks like is what's going to matter the most. And for Jets fans, they want to have full confidence that this regime has this program headed down the right track. Like, I get it, the expectations are tempered this year because of the division and because you're going to be starting a rookie quarterback. But make no mistake about it, this is a huge year for Joe Douglas. You're talking about year three of your general manager. Like, year three, year four, yeah, I mean, this thing should start to turn the corner. And the Jets literally just pushed the reset button on everything in the franchise, from head coach to quarterback, et cetera. So, there's not a lot of expectations in the way of wins for this season, but there's an expectation that it would be markedly better than what we saw last year.
But doesn't it have to be? Like, realistically, do you think there's any chance that you couldn't be markedly better after what they were last year? They were the laughing stock of the NFL. It's like, go out there, don't be the laughing stock, and you're markedly better from what you were last season.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty much. But I think that, I mean, I think to Chris, is what he's saying is, if that's the case, if you feel like, okay, you know, Zach Wilson was the right pick, you know, the coaching staff knows what they're doing, kind of like how you felt about Joe Judge. Like, that will naturally translate into some wins. Right? Like, I mean, being really well coached gives you the opportunity to win some games that you probably didn't expect to win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that just all takes care of it. So the wins will take care of themselves. But again, I think the way you feel about the Jets as a fan will be directly related to how well Zach Wilson plays and how he looks.
So, Wilson plays well. At the end of the year, you look at Rob Saleh and you're like, boy, I really like what he does. And they win five games. And you're fine, right?
Yeah, if Zach Wilson looks good and the defense looks good, because that's his specialty is the defense, then yeah, I'll feel good about it. I mean, that's been the frustrating part a little bit. I mean, the Gase thing too. I mean, he just was terrible, but it's like, okay, you brought him in here because he's supposed to be this, you know, this quarterback guru who's one of the best offensive minds, and your offense was garbage.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was trash. So, I mean, that's it. It's fine in the quarterback, man. It really is for the Jets.
And you're right, Rick. I mean, a lot of Jets fans are going to base how they feel about this season on Zach Wilson, but Jets fans also have to be prepared that Zach Wilson might not look as good as the three quarterbacks that got drafted after him. Like, he might not look as good as Trey Lance because of the situation that he's in. He might not look as good as Justin Fields or Mac Jones. Like, that's the reality of it. Those quarterbacks are going to much better situations. You just want to make sure that when he's out there, it doesn't feel too big for him. He flashes some of the physical tools that forced Joe Douglas to take him with the second overall pick. Like, you just want him to look like he's going to be a competent quarterback.
What happens if he's just great? What happens if he just goes out there, Rick, and you just from right away, you're like, God, this guy is the answer to all our prayers, and he's going to come in here and be great for the next 15 years. You've never lived like that. You haven't had that in your life.
No, you haven't. You have not. And that's why, I mean, I put a lot of how I feel on what he looks like. But
are
I mean,
you nervous to yes. see him?
Yes. I'm nervous to see him. But I think the other thing that's going to be interesting, too, is his – I always felt like Sam – and I get it. Like New York, high expectations. You saw with Eli. You saw – I mean, you see it with Daniel Jones. You have that kind of – we always just talk about the Eli face, like the oh shucks face.
Yeah.
Like nothing phases him. And that's great. Like in the moment, like that's great. That's kind of what you need. But you got to win with that kind of personality, right? Like winning's important with that kind of personality. It felt like Sam sometimes had that kind of personality. Zach Wilson does not have that kind of personality. Like Zach Wilson is like you're going to see
looks
a guy
fiery.
Who's,
he looks
he's
like
fiery.
A fiery one. Yeah,
yeah, and he's going to do some things as a special on the field. Like he's got and he's a good looking kid. Like he has the opportunity. Like it's a real opportunity. It's going to be difficult because it's not like Chris mentioned a great situation, but. To take over the city
yeah.
if he plays well.
You just hope that fiery personality is more like Phillip Rivers and less like Ryan Leaf.
Yes.
Oh, God, like that's
Ryan
Leaf.
What you hope. But you
and
never
stay
know.
Healthy, too. That's the other thing, though. He's got to Sam didn't stay healthy, right? That's the other thing. Stay healthy. It's the biggest thing with a starting quarterback. That's why I was so jealous of you guys with Eli Manning. Everyone wants to kill old. Eli Manning.
But think about it, though, Rico. We talk about Eli Manning staying healthy. That's because the Giants had a lot of stability with that offensive line, and it feels like that's what Joe Douglas is trying to do right now with the group that he's putting together. Like, I mean, I look at the offensive line. I said, this should be a really solid group. Like, it's not going to be great, but it's not going to be awful like it has been.
But that's all I want, Chris, is stability, period. With the offense, I just want
your
stability.
Bar is set so low.
Well, it's been set so low because it's been mishandled so poorly.
Yeah, no, I understand why.
I mean, it's just every couple years. Like, I mean, you come in with this. Okay, here's our plan. Here's our 5-year plan. Well, at some point, you got to stick with the plan for a minute, as opposed to keep changing it.
But Rick, it's been like Game of Thrones over there at Florham Park, man. Like, it's just like the GM didn't pick the head coach, or the head coach didn't pick the GM, and so they've been kind of in these forced marriages, and there hasn't been any consensus about who their guy is going to be moving forward. Like, think about it, man. Mike Maccagnan drafted Sam Darnold in a year where Todd Bowles went into the season on the hot seat. How does that make sense?
Doesn't.
It didn't make sense at all. Like, all of these different things, it feels like for the first time in a long time that this organization, everybody that's in charge of making football decisions is in lockstep. Your general manager chose the head coach, and together they decided to go out there and draft the future franchise quarterback. It's been a long time since the Jets been able to say that. You got to go back to Mark Sanchez.
Why do you think he gave us a list that the Jets are second longest, are longest by twice as much? As far as a playoff drought, that's why.
That's absolutely why.
Because they've been dysfunctional.
Yep. The definition of dysfunction.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Are you buying back into the Yankees with what you've seen? I mean, some of the young players really adding a jolt of energy. They won, both games against Philadelphia, 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, where they've won 4 in a row, 800-919-3776, as they approach a huge series against Boston for 4 tonight in Fenway. Are you buying your way back into the Yankees at all? 800-919-3776. You'll love this, Rick. My call screener, your call screener as well, just says, Chris in Jersey, Dave, he has a huge problem with you. So let's bring him in. Chris, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, guys. First time, long time.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Love the show.
Oh, God. I didn't know it was you.
That's right.
What do you want?
I was completely bamboozled yesterday. My comments toward you were presented without context, and that's not fair.
No, it's fair. Attack him. Don't be shy now.
No, well, what hurts me from you is that I thought we had a really good relationship. We've hosted shows together. I thought I was more than welcoming when we started at the station. And then I said nothing about you in these unsolicited shots.
All I'm telling you, Dave, is own who you are, because you are one fat bastard.
Oh!
Wow!
I can get behind that.
See, that needs context.
Mm-hmm. Really? That needs to be interpreted?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, give us the context.
Okay. Help me out here, Carlin. Help me out.
So, Dave, yes, you were incredibly welcoming when I came to the station. All of this is accurate, but your memory seems to be failing you. Because when Chris was out back in May, mm-hmm. I filled in, and on the very first day, this was the vitriol that came from you. Take a listen.
Call you and me, 11:30 Friday. Let's schedule a call, you and me, 11:30 Friday night this week.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine.
That's fine.
You'll have your CPAP machine on, no way. There is no way that you would be able to talk to me at 11:30 on Friday night.
I sleep like a baby since I've had that thing. I may look like Bane, but I absolutely sleep brilliantly.
Do you really do have one?
I absolutely have one. What do you think?
Do you stop breathing?
Three pills, Dave. Obviously, I have sleep apnea. I've had it for about a year and a half, and let me tell you something. I sleep so well.
I'm pleased for that. I didn't realize you actually had one.
Yeah, no, it's all right. You can assume things with fat people, as you clearly did, Dave. Yeah, see, this is my point. I took that all in good fun. Your CPAP, very hurtful machine.
It's accurate. You have a CPAP machine.
Exactly. But
here's my issue with what you've done now. That was me and you. We were on a show together. We were performing. We're like artists, right?
Right.
We were performing for the people, for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
This was on another show, an unsolicited shot. And I stand by it. I don't know why you did it. And
all right, well, here's why. Here's why.
Very hurtful.
The context is this. When I heard Michael say that as I was driving home the other day, I thought, wow, that's rough. I thought he really got after you for a second. And then I got home and I saw the video of you kicking the soccer ball, and I use air quotes when I say that, into the net the other day.
The onion bag, yes.
Yeah. And I see you in this big bulky sweatshirt. And if you think I don't know all of the tricks to the big fat guy appearance trick, you're out of your mind. That, Dave, I mean, that sweatshirt was so big and your gut was still protruding from it. So I thought, well, wait a second. This is the same guy who's ripping me a month and a half ago for having a CPAP machine. All I had to hear for 6 months is your incremental weight loss that felt like 9 pounds at the time, and you doubled putting it back on, and you're denying that.
I doubled nothing. All right? For you to walk into my
Dave,
home
I saw
right
a side-by-side
now
picture. Dave, come on.
You know what? You know what, Carl? Here's what I'm going to do. Okay? There's two ways we can go about this now. Rick, would you shut up, please? For God's sakes, you're giggling like a schoolgirl. Right. Now, the first thing is we could actually benefit each other right now, at this moment. Let's have a weight loss challenge.
Why would I want to do that?
Why would you? Could you imagine? I mean, come on.
Oh,
let's
God.
Have a weight loss challenge.
Here's the thing. It's not about me and my way. This is about you not owning who you are. Because you are out there, you're really self-hating if you're ripping other people for being fat. These are big fat people! You know, Dave, I saw a side-by-side picture. You looked great at your son's bar mitzvah. Amazing. I mean, you had as many chins as I did in the picture next to it that came from the other day.
No, I still look phenomenal.
You can think that, Dave, but honestly,
pounds.
You asked the question.
I'm going to take that off in minutes. 11 pounds? I go on a juice cleanse, that's gone for good.
First of all, I don't think it was 11 pounds.
11 pounds? 198 to 209.
I think you've put on more than that.
I'm telling you.
You can tell me. I don't believe you. Because, again, I know how to live in denial, Dave. I do it every day. I can look in the mirror and sell myself on that situation. Oh, yeah, this is not bad. So I'm saying that I think that's where you are with this. And so that's why I got, I'll admit, maybe a little bit carried away in the moment the other day. But I'm thinking, geez, this guy is so self-hating that he has to go after me in the process.
I really didn't go after you. I mean, me going after you is a byproduct of you know, your vitriol and you attacking me. I'm going to leave it to the side now, Carlin. I like you very much. I think that maybe Michael stirred the pot a little bit. I'm not going to go after you.
And if I think maybe your partner has to.
And my partner, this is what he does. I can't control him. He's completely out of control.
You asked Carlin when we did the show together if he gained 80 pounds his freshman year in college. 80.
Thanks, Rick. I forgot that.
No, 80 pounds. I was just asking a question. I wasn't trying to be mean.
He was just asking a question.
That's not just asking a question.
I was asking a question. It was journalistic integrity.
It's just like your journalistic integrity yesterday when you said, I'm going to be above all this, and then went on to rip me for 15 minutes.
I'm not ripping you at all. You come on here. You've ripped me. I'm taking the high road. I have a lifestyle change. I got on the treadmill yesterday. I'm getting back on
today. 10 pounds in your mind is not a lifestyle change. I mean, come on. 10 pounds, honestly, first of all, a weight loss challenge wouldn't be fair to you because of the size of where I am. And I own where I am. I'm at about 318, 320 right now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Again, absolutely. See, there it is. Let me judge
that's
you.
That's an honest reaction. That's a lot of weight.
That's what it is. I could lose your 12 pounds or whatever you claim to have put on by next week without a problem because it is... much less. It is the equivalent of you losing half a pound. That's the point.
Don't let him, Carlin. Don't let he's trying to bait you into this because he has.
Well, I'm not doing it because there's for me. You know, I like me. I enjoy myself.
There's a lot to like. He's trying to use you as motivation. Don't let him do that to you.
No, but listen.
Why
I don't need you.
Why can't we win-win here? Why can't we win-win? Life insurance policies go down.
No.
Health coverage is better. I mean, why can't we motivate each other like friends?
First of all, I still got 8 years left on my term life, so those suckers are still paying that low rate. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, who wants to put on their own socks? Carlin's happy.
See, that's not
wow.
See, you see that, Chris?
Wow.
See, you'll attack
right.
me, but you won't
just
attack him.
A shot from the sideline.
I mean, honestly,
DiPietro off the top rope.
Wow. I mean, listen. It's. I'm glad you slid in the one-liner occasionally because you're not wearing a mask and bringing a gun to work like you did your last job. I mean, come on.
Oh! Yes!
Spicy Carlin.
Yes!
That's all I'm saying. I can put my socks on. I'm not athletic at all. I just, Dave, all I want is for you to love yourself.
I love myself.
Oh, he loves himself, especially in traffic, a lot.
Yep.
No one loves himself more than Dave.
Yep.
Guy's watched Sex Life 6 times already.
Yeah.
I feel for you because there's a lot more going on inside there. And as somebody that has battled many, many issues, I see you never called the therapist that I gave you the phone
number. How
do you
know I never called the therapist?
Well, I mean, there's no progress. No,
Dr. Joel Stern?
Dr. Joel Price. That's how I know you
Price,
haven't called.
Stern.
Yeah, Carlin hasn't got his discount for referring you.
And that's what it is.
Exactly.
I've never doubted, Chris, that I have issues. All I'm saying is...
You just don't want to work them out.
I got them well under control, and the weight will be pouring off me. I see a juice cleanse this weekend.
Oh, great. Super. Yep. That should be fun.
I see a juice cleanse this
weekend.
Yeah,
head right into vacation on a juice cleanse.
That'll take like 3 or 5 pounds.
He's
going to
be
miserable.
Why do you
the
care?
Time off.
I won't be with you. What do you care?
Because I care about your happiness.
No, I don't think you do.
I care about Sherry and the kids.
It's not a vacation if you can't just abandon the diet and go all in.
No, I know.
Nope. Sorry. I'll be 190 by the start of football season.
Ugh.
It's locked in. Guaranteed. 190.
Yeah, as somebody that set those goals before, why are you doing this to yourself? I'm not saying that you won't take off weight, but...
Because you know I will.
I think you'll lose weight. We've obviously seen that before. I've lost weight before. I haven't been super skinny.
Can I ask a serious question?
Yeah.
Here we go.
You said, this is
the serious question, meaning, can I judge you in the next 90
I'm
seconds?
No, I don't think this is unfair or mean, and if you find that it is, you can stop me and not answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You said you're like 318 now?
Roughly, yeah.
What was the pinnacle? Like, what was the best that you've been where you're like, God, I have it going on. I'm what? Was there a number?
Well, I never said I've had it going on, but I've been healthier. I've been, you know, in the last 15 years, the best I've been at is probably 265 in the last 15
years. That's pretty
good,
though.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I obviously want to get there from a health standpoint, but as far as loving myself, I'm there. And that's why I want to reach out and help you. And if it took a little tough love for me to call you a fat bastard and tell you to just own yourself, that's what it is, Dave. We talked about the fact that, you know, you were so welcoming. Maybe it's a little tough love.
Well, listen, you need tough love. You need it, Dave. We all know this. We recognize it. The people that love you recognize this. Carl, let me ask you a question, this whole CPAP situation.
Yeah.
How does this affect, like, the spontaneity in the bedroom? Like, is that like it's understanding once that CPAP's on, I'm out, it's done?
Are you giving up?
I'm laughing at the whole notion of spontaneity in the bedroom.
Wow, you guys are not painting the best picture for marriage. Come on.
No, you'll be fine, Chris. They got a button. I saw it on Shark Tank. It's like the sex button. Like, if you want to get it going, you can press the button, and it tells your spouse that you're interested.
Wait, what?
Okay, so this is replacing the shoulder tap in the middle
exactly.
of the night?
Exactly. Yo, with this shoulder tap or this the little, you know, hey, what's up? How you doing?
And when you press the button, what happens?
Are you still awake?
You still up?
Can you imagine me doing that with the mask on? Hey. Hey, what's up?
I'm ready. Big Daddy ready.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
You really are a treat. What do you have today? Are you doing Bart and Han? Are you doing your show? What do you have?
I'm doing it all. I'm doing Bart and Han later on from 12 to 2, and then I'll be doing the show tonight from 6:30 to 10.
Have you ever done the trifecta where you do Greeny 10 to 12?
Yes, I have done that once.
Bart and Han, 12 to 2, your show, 6:30 to 10.
I have done that once.
That was recently, too.
When you have done that, do you feel like that you're exhausted? That you're spent? That's too
much. I nearly died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was the equivalent of walking a half mile.
Yeah, because it's the radio that's going to kill you.
Damn,
because it'll be the radio that kills you, not the 320.
You see, him again, Chris.
I understand. I know what Rick is, Dave. I thought you were better than this.
Yeah, I'm not. But
yeah,
listen,
clearly
we appreciate you. I thank you for joining us this morning, and I wish you nothing but good things and success.
Well, you're so full of it.
And we love you. I love you. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. I know Canty loves you, too. Dave, who knows with him? I think he loves anybody.
I liked him until he was so mean the other day, but that's okay. I've rebounded past it.
He's pushing you. It's in your best interest, Dave. It's like a good coach. You hate him, then you realize, wow,
he's like
really pushed me to be better.
Station. Very nice. Carlin, we appreciate you. We'll
love you
at noon and at 6:30.
Love you guys.
Goodbye.
He's probably going to go light up a Mantown candle.
That's right. Take a bath in his own filth and have at it.
Wow. I don't know if that's possible. You're going to wedge him in a bathtub? Come on.
What, you know, there was an
NHL coach. I won't tell you the name. You'll be able to figure it out. That got
he
him stuck.
Told us this. He couldn't get out of the bathtub.
Yeah, got himself wedged into the bathtub. They could hear him screaming. They had to come take him out of the bathtub.
In a hotel?
Yeah. They couldn't. I think it was a dorm situation. And they heard him. They heard screaming. And then they went in. They went into the room, and he was wedged into the bathtub.
How long?
So he decided he was going to try to take a bath in a dorm?
Well, yeah, I think it's like that kind of scenario, yeah.
How long?
I can't trust that coach's game plans.
No.
It's a terrible idea. At all. Taking a bath in its own right is just repulsive to begin with. But how long do you think that you would have to be in a bath and incapable of raising yourself out, naked, fat,
to call for help?
That you would call for help? Like, for me, that would probably be 3 days.
Yeah,
like, I would have to be there forever.
At least 48 hours, probably.
Right?
Yeah. No, like, especially because
is there a worse level of embarrassment than I'm obese, I'm in a tub, I can't get out, I'm naked, lift me. That's the depths of embarrassment. Right?
Well, he also, that was bad. He also got stuck in a bunker playing golf. They had to drag him out of the bunker.
He got stuck in the bunker?
He couldn't get out.
Explain to me how this went down.
It was a steep bunker, and the sand kept giving way because he was so heavy, and they had to drag him out.
Why didn't he just go down and out and around?
He could. It was like it was a pot bunker. He couldn't get out of it, and they had to drag him out of it.
So they need more than a rake. They need a shovel to kind of fix the bunker.
You think this guy was over 300 pounds?
Oh, yeah. Heavy.
Terrific. All right, we have a couple of Yankees calls. Would you like to get to that or make fun of people?
No,
this is a preview for the cookout, Dave.
Yeah, the cookout. We're testing out the Friday cookout segment.
Tomorrow. Tell people again what the cookout entails, Rick.
So the cookout, like say, for example, we did the cookout today, which would have a perfect day to do it because Carlin called in. He's roasting you. We're roasting him. And it's great fun. Is you'll have the ability to call in. You can roast us. You can roast the K-Show, Carlin. But more importantly, you can roast your favorite, whoever it ends up being. Like last night, I'm sure we take phone calls today. Gleyber Torres, defense, shortstop.
Right.
And you can kill him. 13th error, by the way, this season.
That's a lot.
It's not good.
No,
it is not good.
I think Tatis has 19.
Yeah, but Tatis is, I mean, if you look at his offensive numbers,
different level. Absolutely. Different level. And that started the whole run in the eighth inning last night. Let's go to Mark in Saratoga. Good morning, Mark. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you for having me. So right now, the Yankees, I'm glad that they won 2 out of 3 in Boston. That's a good start. And the Phillies, they're average, so I'm glad they won against them. But overall, the Yankees are underachieving.
But Mark, time out. By definition, I mean, you guys are average too. I mean, what do you just start talking down that we beat Philly because they're average, so that's fine. No, yeah, I mean, you beat Philly. You did what you had to do with the team that's depleted with injury.
Well, yes.
I don't get Yankees
fans. The Yankees are underachieving. And yes. I give Cashman a C right now because we were out a lot of players, that's true, but guys like Gleyber Torres are just coming along. And DJ LeMahieu is doing good recently. But honestly, they have a lot of talent, and I expect them to do better. They're lucky if they make the
Rick, you know what? You're right. And Mark, thanks for the call. They are miserable.
Miserable.
That blanket statement, Yankees fans. I don't understand you guys because I'm not like that. Stop.
No,
it.
You're not
there are
like
Yankees
that.
Yankees fans out there that are rational, where this team is.
Even winning games is not good enough for him. Even winning games shorthanded is not good enough for him. Well, we were supposed to do better, but you're not. You haven't been. You've stunk for the majority of the season, but you've gotten better of late. Can't you find some solace in that?
Well, you're 9-3 in your last 12. You won 4 straight series. Like, relax. Now we're going to start like, well,
you've won 4 games in a row.
I'm not going to put much emphasis on this series because this team is average. Well,
so
are you.
So if you've underperformed and underachieved, it can never change? It can never get better?
I guess not. I mean, that's the feeling I get from Yankees fans is like they're happy being miserable with this.
Chris, you're right. I'm sorry to lump all of you in together. But I will say this. There are a lot of Yankees fans that are tremendous babies. Tremendous babies in the way they handle themselves.
Here's what I'll say, Dave. I think it's fair for Yankees fans to be skeptical of this team. Like, I mean, this team has been take 2 steps forward, 3 steps backwards, and they've done that all year long. So right now, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, we won 4 straight series, 4 straight games. I just, you're wondering, is the worm going to turn? Like, and it could happen going up against the Boston Red Sox, because that team, you got to believe that they're angry about what happened in the Bronx this past weekend. And they're going to try to take it out on the Yankees this weekend. So that's the series that I'm looking at. And if they go up there and they win that series, 3 or 4, or fingers crossed, get a sweep, then I'll feel much differently about this Yankees team's prospects for the rest of the second half and for the season overall. But until that happens, I'm not going to buy in completely to what I'm seeing.
God, if they get a sweep, I pick the right week to go on vacation next week. That would be just horrendous.
Well, guess this is the best part, too. Guess who the Yankees are going to be rooting for coming up? The Mets.
Well,
you know you'd be rooting for the Mets.
Hey, we did you a solid return the favor.
Yeah, I don't think the Blue Jays is not overly concerning. You got other bigger fish to fry. All right, Santi, let's go.
Today's 3 stars of DCR.
Honorable mention is going to go to Awkward Silences.
There's some TBDs on there.
Yeah,
you're
going to have to leave.
Someone should probably talk.
No, number 3 is going to go to Rick DiPietro for the fascinating story, the resolving of the missing checks, 4 or 5 hours on the portal, putting in wrong passwords, wrong hints, what's your mother's maiden name and such. But
I don't understand how you don't have those questions answered.
Long story short, after decades of avoiding it, Rick DiPietro finally has direct deposit. Congratulations.
And that's our third star. Congratulations, Rick.
I got it.
Number 2.
Number 2 is going to go to Stone Cold Chris Carlin for dropping in on the show. Taking shots at everybody. I'm looking forward to. Are you guys going to go through with this weight loss contest or what?
It sounds like he's scared to death of it, so he's not going to do it.
I think it could be fun.
Number 1.
And the only reason I'm making this number 1 is because he's going on for a long weekend. Chris, can't you enjoy yourself? So I'm just going to send you off, CC, if you will, with the PTSD of training camp.
Why would you do this?
No, seriously.
That ain't right.
Seriously. CeCe, enjoy your long weekend, and hope to see you soon. And you won't have to be doing 2-a-days or goal line drills to start off training camp. Full pads. No more of that.
How nice will that be?
I like the shots. I like the shots, sending him out for his long weekend. Have a great weekend, Chris. We'll be back tomorrow. At least Rick and I will. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion. It's DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and...
everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.